Can I pray for you guys? Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you that for Jesus. I thank you that you remind us every year that it's new and fresh. And that no matter what's going on, you're in charge. And you came, the God from heaven, came in the flesh as a human being. To the amazement of the angels. To the hatred of the demons. To the glory of you. And the glory of us. That the Son of God would become one of us. So that you could bring heaven to earth, to take earth to heaven. And we so thank you for that. We bless you this day. Bless your people, God. We thank you for that. Bless this word, and may it touch our lives again as we hear the story. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All of us have heard about the Christmas story. Amen. Bless God. We hear the story of Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus had authorized a census be taken, which he did every 15 years to make sure they got their taxes. And so you would go to your hometown. As many of you already know this, you were commanded to go to your hometown so that you could sign up in the census, the family town, and there they would make sure they got everybody so that they could charge you the right amount, which is never the right amount, but anyways, that's a different message. So we're going to pick up the story today, starting with the prophecy that was given in the Old Testament book of Micah, where, you know, God does nothing without first telling his prophets what he's going to do. So we're never completely caught off guard. But what catches us off guard is we never have the exact timing of when something's going to take place. That's what most of us struggle with. And we never have the exact circumstances in which it will happen. But God always gives us enough to go on. Enough to believe in, enough to have faith in. In Micah 5:2, we're told this, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you who are little, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." Ancient days means before there was days, before there was time. He would come to this town. So, verse 3 tells us this in Luke, "And all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth," about 60 miles, his wife being 9 months pregnant, ready to give birth, or in that time slot, "to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child." They were there. So they were there for some time. We don't know exactly how much time they were there, but they were there. And while they were there, something happened inside of her that she knew it was time to give birth. It was coming up. Her water, I don't believe, had broken at that time. It couldn't have because they were going to travel. But she was there. She was ready. And it says this, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." So apparently, they needed different lodging than what they had. So they went to the inn, and Bethlehem's a fairly small town. So they went looking for a place for her to have the baby. They couldn't find a place. So they must have come to the moment of saying, "We got to head back to Jerusalem." Jerusalem's a much bigger town. There's much better lodging. And so they started from Bethlehem, traveling the 6 or 7 miles or so to Judea. And there was one main road that connected them. And on this road, there were many sheep fields, many fields that the shepherds took care of the flocks. So they would start their journey. We don't know how they went, but as they were moving, something happened and Mary couldn't go farther. So they were in a bad situation. And the best accommodations they could find is what came to be known as the Tower of the Flock. It was the only protective structure available on the long road through the many fields of sheep between the two towns. We know this is the case because this same Micah who prophesied the city also prophesied the location of where the baby, the ruler of Israel, would be born. In Micah 4:8, we're told this, "And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. The former dominion, the leader, shall come. Kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem." The baby would be born in what is called the Tower of the Flock. In Hebrew, it was called the Migdal Adar. It was a tower. I'm going to show you a picture here. If we can get it up there. There's two things I want you to see what they would find. Now, the Tower of the Flock, if we can get the pictures up there. Are they up there? Because they're not there. That's an example of the Tower of the Flock. What would take place is there was one Tower of the Flock. In the many sheepfolds that and the sheep that would be out in the field, every night the shepherds would call their sheep in. And they would have structures that they would house the sheep in, because I don't know if you guys know this, but back then there were bears and lions. There was wild animals, not to mention thieves who would steal the sheep. And so Jesus said, the sheep will know my voice, because every shepherd, that flock would move according to the voice of the shepherd. So the sheep would mingle in different fields, but when the shepherd would call them at night, they would all flow to that shepherd. And they had rock pens that they would put the sheep in. And then oftentimes one of the shepherds would lay across the entryway so that no sheep could come into the pen except through the shepherd. And Jesus mentioned that he's the shepherd, he's the gate for the sheep. And that's what the gatekeeper would be a shepherd laying across the entryway. But there was one place called the Tower of the Flock. From the top, as you can see, would be a shepherd would watch over this particular flock. And this flock was called the Levitical flock. These were the sheep that would be used for the temple sacrifices every Sabbath and at Passover. And so there was a special field for them. And when the sheep, when an ewe would be getting ready to give birth, they would take the ewe and bring the ewe into the bottom part of the tower. And that's where the ewe would give birth, and they would see if it was a male. If it was a male, they would take the male, because the male had to be perfect, couldn't be with any blemishes. They would take the male and wrap the male in swaddling clothes. And then they would place the newborn male sheep into a manger. And that's what the mangers would look like. I know we always have the wood ones, but in those days, stone worked a lot better, and it was much longer lasting. And so that was a typical manger back in the day. And they would wrap this. Now, this little male, and they would watch him, and then for the next year, he would be out in the fields, and he would have to stay outside the whole year. And when the male survived that, that's when the male would now go to the temple to be sacrificed. So there were shepherds in all the fields, but there were particular shepherds, and these shepherds were called Levitical shepherds. Now, what would also take place is the priest would go to the tower, the flock of the tower, and he would bless it, and he would perform cleansing so they would have it as clean as possible for these sheep because they were special sheep. And so they would do that, and they'd also provide special swaddling cloths. They call it swaddling because they would wrap, kind of like what we do with newborns, they would wrap them tight, and then they would have strips of linen usually attached to the sheet, and they would probably have some Hebrew written on it, and they would fold it over, and then they would tie it so the little lamb couldn't move and couldn't hurt itself. It was a very, very big deal, because only the best sheep. It's one of the reasons when Jesus was much older, he went into the temple grounds and they were selling messed up sheep to the people. And he said, "You've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. It's a house of prayer for all nations. And you're selling these to be offered to God and they're inferior." These were special sheep. So Mary and Joseph, as they're traveling on this road, Bethlehem, towards Jerusalem, Mary can't go farther, and the only place they could find was the Tower of the Flock, in accordance to the prophecy of Micah. So there in this place, Mary gives birth to Jesus, and they wrap him in swaddling cloths because he's the Lamb of God. He's the perfect one to be sacrificed. Everything God does has purpose, from the small details to the big details, in your life, in my life, and in his plan over everything. Nothing happens by mistake in the kingdom of God. In fact, rabbis say there's no such thing as a coincidence. It's all laid out. So even his birth is laid out. So while this is taking place, in the fields nearby are shepherds. But these aren't just regular shepherds. These are the Levitical shepherds. And so we pick up the stories, or the story. And this is the other part that blows my mind. Imagine the thrill. How many follow Jesus? Hey, there's a thrill part to that, and then there's the great disappointment part to that. There's the great letdown to that. Mary gives birth to her baby, the thrill of her firstborn, the thrill of having this child in that tower, that circumstance. Great. I wonder what Joseph was feeling. Good planning, buddy. I was just talking to Aurelia before service, and she's quite a bit more organized than me. And we were talking, and I said to her, "You know what? See, you're organized. But me, I'm like Joseph. He don't know what he's doing. He's just he's just going on the road, and there's a tower. That'll work." Yeah, so take comfort, you disorganized people. God still uses us. Aren't you glad for that? Take comfort, you organized people. He'll use you too. So, we pick up this story. We know what Mary and Joseph and the baby are doing. She's probably a hot mess. You know, just gave birth to a baby. She's exhausted, all that stuff. Joseph was tired. You know, I just know being a husband and a father, it's exhausting when they give birth. Yeah. I just tried not to be in the cafeteria when it happened up in the... Okay. That night, verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. So there, and like I said, this 6-mile road had, the pasture land was great. So there were all these different flocks, all these different shepherds. And shepherding in general is a tough business. It is looked down upon in that time frame. It was looked as a very menial job. And since these guys were dirty all the time, they stayed out all the time at night. They were never allowed in the temple because they never were really clean. They didn't, you know, they had blood on them from the animals. They were a rough and tough crew of people. And they were kind of despised by regular, normal people, even though they provided much of the meat, much of the wool for clothing. They did a lot of service to the community, but they were despised by the community. Treated with, and despised means they weren't hated, they were just treated with little regard. Oh, you're a shepherd. And sheep are troublesome animals. They are prone to disease. They deal with ticks and other stuff. Their wool, when it's wet, becomes all matted. It becomes a gnarly thing. They're not smart. They panic at the slightest thing, and then they just start running. And when one runs, everybody, kind of like us, when one runs, everybody looks and starts running too. It reminds me of people getting off the freeway. You know, if there's two lanes to get off the freeway and the farthest right lane has 75 cars, who gets in line behind that? We all do. While everybody else is zipping on that line to get off. You guys know what I'm talking about? That's like sheep. They do that. So, and you have to fight off or be willing to fight off animals, and that's why, and thieves. And that's why Jesus said, I'm not a hireling shepherd who's just doing it for the money and the hours. He will not jeopardize himself for the sake of the flock. He's not going to get himself possibly killed or maimed or confront somebody because of the flock. It's just a job to him. But the real shepherds, they lay down their lives for the sheep. They love the sheep and they know them by name. And Jesus said, we're his flock. And he knows us by name. And we are precious to him. And he'll leave the 99 that are safe in the pen. That are safe in the pen. He'll leave them to go find the one that's lost. He'll look for them. In fact, this is a little side note. There's a sheep sometimes abandon their babies. And they're called the bummer sheep. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. They are called the bummer sheep. For whatever the reason is, the ewe will reject a sheep. And then the shepherd will come and find the baby because it'll be out in the field. Unless it's a Levitical type sheep, the rest of the sheep give birth out in the fields. They will find that little lamb. And when the mother sheep, the ewe, abandons the baby, no other sheep will take it except the shepherd. He will come and he will pick up the ewe and oftentimes carry it with him and take it wherever he goes. And as the sheep grows, the sheep will be reunited to the flock and the flock will accept it. And it'll become its own. And that sheep will always respond immediately to the shepherd's voice. Out of all the sheep, the shepherd just has to say the word. And that sheep comes running. And there is a bond. There's a bond for the lost ones. There's something that takes place. And God looks for the bummer sheep. He looks for the bummer sheep because they're precious to him. So I don't, you know, and God considers us sheep. So whenever you read the Gospels and you read this, Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, who leaves the 99 to find the one bummer sheep, the one, the lost sheep. And that sometimes sheep just run away because they just, they're, you know, They just got to go find greener grass. And the shepherd will break that sheep's leg. Why? To save him. Sometimes the stuff that happens to us is what we would consider horrible is actually for our salvation. He's saving us from something worse. He's saving us. So there's so many analogies in there. And so I'm sharing some of this stuff with you so that when you read the Gospels, you read them the amazingness of our God who would be born in a tower. And Chris and I were talking beforehand too. In Isaiah 53, it tells us, or might be in 52, I'm not sure right now. But it tells us that Jesus, well, there was nothing in his appearance that would be attractive to us. In other words, he was just an ordinary looking dude. The God of all creation took the DNA, and we're talking about Mary. How blessed is she? Her DNA is in Jesus. Her DNA is in Jesus. And apparently she wasn't that hot, but because he wasn't that hot, so I don't know. I'm just putting two and two together here. But I'll tell you what, she's blessed of all women. She gave birth to Jesus. It's hope for all of us. All right. Let's read on. So shepherding's a demanding and not very appreciated business. And you can't shepherd from a distance. You can't shepherd from a distance. One of the reasons we say our church is about building lives one at a time, because we understand when you get hurting people, it takes a lot of investment. You can't minister effectively from a great distance. You have to be up close and personal. And that's what God is. So that's what these shepherds were, you know, all about in those fields. So get this, shepherds, they're laying out, these Levitical shepherds are staying, doing their thing. Obviously, there was no ewe giving birth at that moment, so the tower was empty. And they're sitting out there another night, whether there were stars or not, just another night in a long procession of nights. One night after the other. Same old job. They went from probably talking around a fire, watching their sheep, and then all of a sudden, everything changes. Everything changes. You know what? God always tends to meet us where we're at. It's great we go to church, and it's great we do this, and it's important. But oftentimes, we meet God in our rooms, in our place of mourning, in the dark times, in the dark night of the soul. That's when God becomes real to us in ways that he doesn't necessarily other times. So these shepherds are out there, and did I skip a verse here? Oh yeah, that night, verse 8, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, okay? Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The glory of the Lord always has two ideas behind it. One, an incredible radiance, a light that is so bright, it overpowers our emotions. It overpowers our eyesight. We are literally blinded. And that's what the glory of the Lord, this radiance of this angel in these guys' midst, blew them away with the light. And it's dark at night, so their eyes aren't even adjusted. And so, man, they're blown away. The second aspect of that is the presence of God. The overwhelming presence of a being. I don't know if you've ever had those experiences with the Holy Spirit where all of a sudden the presence of God is there. I've known the presence of darkness too. I've walked into places and I could literally feel the presence of evil. Well, that's, so those things, this angel brought the divine presence of God, the radiance of the light and the radiance of the present, and these guys were petrified. Anytime God's angels show, that we're always petrified. I don't know what you think of angels, but they ain't little cherubim sitting on a cloud with a bow and arrow. These are warrior beings. So, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." You know the Bible says "fear not" 365 times? What does that equate with? I don't know, something. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you," these guys. He says, "I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be for all people." Man, that's a beautiful thing. The despised guys are told that they see an angel, and he's bringing them good news. And then he says it'll be for everybody. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you." He says this will be a sign for you guys. So these guys will know what the angel's talking about. He says this will be a sign for you. "For you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." These are Levitical priests. They know exactly what he's talking about. They know exactly about the swaddling clothes. They know where to go. They know where to look. I don't know how far it was from them. I don't know if it was a half mile. I don't know how big the field was. But these guys were told that this was a sign for you to find this baby. And not, so while they're hearing this and they're listening to this and they're full of fear, and he says, "Fear not." How many of us have ever heard the word "fear not," but that didn't do nothing about our fear? It's good words, but we still got a lot of fear. While that's happening, suddenly in verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. A host is a couple thousand minimum. These guys are talking to this angel. They're amazed, and suddenly the place is lit up with angels, a heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." They're blown away. Glory to God in the highest, that he would come to people. That's what separates the angels from the demons. The angels rejoice that God loves these human beings, who were made, according to Psalm 8, a little bit lower than the angels, a little bit less capacity, and that God would become one of them. Glory to God in the highest, they're saying. "And on earth, peace among those to whom he is pleased." That means his favor. The good news for all people is he's pleased to be the God of all people. He was pleased to bring peace between God and man and man, or human and human. Not even sure how long these angels last, you know, how long they spoke this, praise God, sang, whatever they were doing. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us how long, but at some point it ends. It says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Well, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" You know, whenever God speaks to us, there's always a response to that. They could have, "Man, that was incredible. I can't wait to tell all the other guys tomorrow." Okay, what were we talking about now? They said, "Whoa, we need to go see this thing." You know, when God does something in your life, there's the second part of that, is God wants you to do something. He told them. Now, the angels didn't tell them that they had to go. He just said, "This is the sign that he's here." So, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And that was, it's good news for everybody. It was good news for them. And so they felt compelled to tell everybody else. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. They were trying to figure it out. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She treasured them up. That means to store them. She's put them on top of the other things that angels have told her about Jesus. And she pondered them. Pondered means to think deeply. What does this mean? You know, I think sometimes, for many of us, we ponder too lightly what God is doing in our lives. We look at the circumstance of it and we miss what's going on behind that. It's, you know, I did a podcast the other day and I was talking about until you ask this question, why do I do what I do? You will never get to the deep things in your life. Because when you ask, why do I do what I do? It causes you to ponder your actions, ponder your words, ponder your thoughts. Why do I do what I do? What is going on? That's what Mary was doing with this. What is going on? I'm in a rock structure and I have the baby and these guys come in and they tell me this stuff that's going on, and I look at my circumstances, and I can't put it, it doesn't fit. We need to know this. God does that, one, to keep us in faith, and two, to keep the devil off the case. The devil is never going to think Mary, who wasn't even fully married at the time, has a baby, and if they did, you know, the Nazareth, you know, Joseph was going to put her away because she was obviously with another dude. Then the angel comes to Joseph and tells him, no, that's from God. And he's got to believe that. And then he's got to take her in. And then they got to go through that. And then, oh my gosh, she got pregnant at the wrong time because now they got to travel 65 miles on a donkey or whatever they traveled on while she's super pregnant. I mean, I just feel so sorry for Joseph. He quit your belly aching. Spoken like a true guy. They're all wondering. So Mary stored all this away. See, that's the way my head goes, but. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So they went back to their jobs. They went back to the field. Nothing changed outwardly in their lives. They have this amazing experience and nothing outwardly changed. But everything inwardly changed. They would never be the same inwardly. Joseph and Mary, Joseph would have to go and start his carpentry business. They would go back to Bethlehem for the next couple years. And he would be doing that. Mary would become a housewife, raising a little boy. And their life in the natural would look very mundane. Probably money's tight when you're, you know, starting a business. Things, you know, life went on outwardly. And that's the way God works in our lives. Our lives go on. The ups, the downs, the great things, the traumatic things, the hard things, the easy things. Life goes on. But something changes in here. And then you know what we become? We become the tower of the flock. We become the ones, like the tower held the baby we become the ones who hold Jesus. And then we go out to our pasture lands. We go out to our businesses. We go out to our raising families. We go out to the things we go out. And that's how God touches the sheep in the pasture that have not found the right shepherd yet. You and I carry the light. We carry that to this world. And it's never about what your outward is. It's the light you carry on the inside. So we're going to sing Silent Night right now when they get out here. Or up here. I see you guys down there. I see one of you. See that smooth cue in all my organization? It's like a charm. So I don't know what your particular circumstance is. I don't even know what your housing is. Their original housing for their family was the Tower of the Flock, the Migdal Adar. That was their place. You have your place. Do not, my friends, this Christmas, judge the work of God on what is happening outward. What you got in the bank, what you got there. Take some time. Can we just stand up? Take some time this Christmas season to ponder, what has God done in my life this last year? What has taken place in my life this last year? What is God trying to show me? Where has God chased me if I've gone sideways? And be thankful that he left the 99. Be thankful that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Whether you're up and doing or you're down and out. Because you carry the light no matter what's going on. So as we sing, and it starts with that silent night. It was, you know, circumstances weren't that deal, big a deal, but the light was in them. So as we hit the lights, all the can we turn the lights off? Yeah, there we go. As we sing this, just hold your candle out and sing it with your, and then you guys, as you go home tonight again, ponder what's going on in your life and where God fits in all that. God bless you guys and have a very blessed Christmas. Yeah.
Amen. Let me pray for you and then I'll release you. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for your people, your church, your spirit that lives in us all. As we disperse, God, as we go out and we enjoy tradition, we enjoy each other. May your spirit and your peace rest on every home of everyone that can hear my voice tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Merry Christmas.